what's fun tonight? This is my Tigger headband. I have a girl in my ministry who really likes me and really likes who I am and kind of wants to be like me. And it's sometimes it's concerning, but she also wears headbands, loves St. Bernard's. The list goes on and on, the Vikings and all that. But she's an amazing headband maker. So she made me the dog headband I was wearing earlier today and this Tigger headband. So it's pretty impressive. She also made me one with OPI nail polish bottles on the top. Also very impressive. It just doesn't travel well. So anyway, I'm excited tonight because we are going to talk about one of my favorite seemingly conflicting ideas in ministry. And that is that we can celebrate chaos while we implement structure. And I just have this sense tonight that some of you need to be encouraged even before we get into the depths of this. I love scripture. I love what Paul has to write. I love the love chapter of 1 Corinthians 13. But I don't feel like 1 Corinthians 12 gets enough love. It's where Paul talks about the spiritual gifts and the body of Christ. And when we talk tonight, a lot of this is going to be under the umbrella of 1 Corinthians 12, specifically verse 18. But if you're not familiar with this chapter, Paul talks about how it's beautiful that we have received spiritual gifts from the Holy Spirit. Okay, I know we come from a lot of different denominations, but I hope we can agree where it says in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 that when you said yes to Jesus, you received the gift of the Holy Spirit. You were sealed with the Spirit. And the Spirit is a giver of gifts, which means that every one of us in this room has at least one and probably more gifts that were given to you specifically by the hand of God through the Spirit to edify the church, to build up the church, and then to ooze out over into the world. And it's I love that he uses this idea of the body. When I'm teaching this to my students, I use Mr. Potato Head. I bring out Mr. Potato Head and all the different parts. And even though my kids are 7th, 8th, and 9th grade, they love the throwback to when they were a child. And it's just so fun to put the lips underneath the potato where the feet are supposed to be. And then you try to stand him up and he falls over, right? Of course he does. Because the feet are supposed to be in that position, not the lips. And Paul is just so great about talking about this idea that so often we have a jealousy of other people in the body, or we are disappointed deep down with the Lord for not giving us a certain gift and giving us another one instead. So those of you in the room who have the gift of administration, like that is so incredibly needed, but you might feel like, nah. Oh, great, Heather, I'm great with spreadsheets. That makes the kids love me, right? Or I'm really good with tracking receipts, Pam. That makes the kids love me, you know? Or maybe you have the gift of service or gift of helps. And so you're a lot of times behind the scenes. And then you look at somebody else who's up there dancing on the stage or that all the kids are like chanting their name when it comes time to the dance off. And you're like, why can't I have that? I just want to encourage all of us with verse 18 today. 1 Corinthians 12:18, it says, but in fact, God has arranged the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. However it is that the Lord has gifted you, however it is that he has fashioned you, you are needed. You are essential. And you're needed at your church, you're needed on your team. And I just need you to hear that tonight. When I invite people to come and be a part of my team at Wooddale Church with the junior high, I love to try to replicate the body of Christ. So I try to find people who are different than me. This might scare you, surprise you, but I have kids I scare. I literally have children that I make cry. Madison came to our Wednesday night program, and I knew her mother, so I had heard of her, and I was so excited that she was coming, and I tried to express that to her in the hallway, and literally, she started crying and her lips started quivering. And I was like, okay, Heather, step back. So I did what I call modify Heather. I like just took my hand away from her, which was probably, I was touching her. That probably wasn't good. But I stepped away and I lowered my voice and I just started, I scare Madison. So I need somebody like Julie who doesn't scare Madison, who's super chill, soft-spoken, kind. She likes knitting. She actually is a curler. She curls like on the ice. That's something we do up in Minnesota. And I need Julie, right? I'm a girl who grew up at Bethel Baptist Church in Owatonna, Minnesota. I grew up conservative Christian. I'm 51 years old. I've never had a drink of alcohol in my life. I mean, really, do you want to see me more uninhibited? Do you want to see me more socially at ease? Drew's giving a thumbs up. No, you don't, Drew. No, you don't. Okay, I have a very a history and a testimony that I have trauma and things that happen, but it's very different. So I need somebody like Yo. Yo didn't come to faith until she was in college. She was ministered to by a crew group, and she came to know the Lord, and she was in this dating relationship and got pregnant. And so here she is, a brand new believer. Didn't marry the guy because it wasn't a good relationship. And all of a sudden, she's a single parent at 20 years old and was a single parent for a good amount of years before she met Nathan. And then they got married. And I need Yo because I need my story, but I need Yo's story because my story doesn't relate to some kids that are in the room. So I don't care where you are today, friends. I don't care what your story is, what your journey is, what your age is, what your ethnic background is. I am telling you that you are needed. And the body of Christ is not complete without you. So feel that and know that today. And you know I'm going to make you make it personal. So at your table, one person is going to start. The person is going to say their name. This is very, we're going to be structured here, okay? We're implementing structure. Say your name, and then I want you to share two giftings that God has given you. I'd love it if they were actual spiritual gifts because you've taken a spiritual gift survey. But if you haven't done that, then what kind of things have been affirmed in you throughout your life and that you know that you bring to the team? I don't want you to expand on all of it because we don't have time to do that, but I want you to say your name and two gifts that God has given you. And I want you to, please don't be wussy and like, well, I guess I'm kind of organized. No. I am organized, right? Because you are giving credit to the one who made you and who gifted you, all right? So if I were sitting at your table, I would say, hi, my name is Heather, and God has made me to be very consistent. I am steady. I hope this weekend you have gotten the same Heather that's standing up here as the Heather that you see in the elevator, as the Heather that you see in the dining. I am very consistent and steady, and that's a gift to the kids in my world whose lives are like this, right? And then in regards to spiritual gifts, God's given me the gift of encouragement. I love to celebrate people. I love to see good things in them and call them out, okay? So that's what I would say if I was at your table. The person who is going to start is the person who has most recently flossed their teeth. And then you're going to go counterclockwise. Okay, so let's just make it happen here. Erica, when did you last floss?
This morning.
This morning. Has anybody flossed earlier than this or later than this morning?
I took a pen and I did
that. Craig said he took a pen and shoved it in between his teeth to get something out. That doesn't count. Okay, so Erica is going to start. And then they are going to move counterclockwise, and they're going to do it all within an efficient amount of time until Angelina gets done. Okay? Figure out who's flossed. Let's see. Sean, you might need a joint. Why don't you go over there by Anna? Okay? Band in the back, you are included. You guys are included. I would guess you all have experienced chaotic times in your ministry. Like maybe stopping at a convenience store with a van full of junior hires and trying to manage 11 of them as they run toward the monster in the back refrigerated section. Or maybe you've got a high school boy who thinks it's a great idea to jump across the fire and the fire pit. And as he does, he scrapes his leg on the fire rim and slits it, and blood is gushing out all over. And his guy friends are laughing and the girls are screaming. And you're wondering how you're going to explain this to his parents as you drive him to the hospital, right? But that might be a real life story. Yeah, you're right. His name was Jake. No kidding, his name was Jake, and his parents took out a second line of insurance on him. Because all throughout, even his younger years, like 10, 11 years old, he had so many injuries, they took out an additional secondary insurance. So I was glad to hear that, but it was still tough. Yeah. Or maybe the chaos of you leading, I'll just say this, I don't have to say anything else, sixth grade boys. That's just enough right there, right? Ministry can be chaotic, and it can feel chaotic. But I hope you've also experienced structure within ministry. Maybe for you, it's the rhythm of your midweek program. Maybe you always start with hangout time, and then you do announcements, and then you do a game, and then you have worship, and then you do teaching. Or maybe you guys use name tags in your ministry. Maybe you sit at tables and have worksheets that you go through. Maybe you have the rhythm of your calendar. For us, we do our fall retreat, and then we do winter retreat, and then we have a spring retreat, and then we have mission trips, and then we have summer camp, and then, hey, back to fall retreat again. Okay? So chaos and structure, we experience both of them. I believe that they must coexist, and I believe that if you want to have an attractive ministry, they must coexist. But here is the truth. The truth is that we all have a tendency toward one or the other. We like one or the other, and that's what I call our default, okay? So we're going to do a little self-evaluation here. If you are chaos in your tendency, you probably are the one that kids beg to have as their cabin leader or their small group leader. You're the one who starts the singing or dancing or the games on the ride to camp. And you can pivot in the moment, and actually change excites you. If your leader on a midweek program or at an event gives some kind of a schedule, within 5 minutes, you have no idea where your schedule is. You're probably even unaware that there was a schedule, okay? You're very shoot from the hip. You're probably extroverted, but you just more so can just pivot in the moment. My people with chaos, I can say, hey, this weekend, you're going to be with ninth grade boys. But then something happens, and they come to me on Friday with check-in, and I say, oh, man, I'm sorry, Bri. I had to put you with seventh grade boys instead. And he's like, all right, woo! It's like, okay. Where others that I would have would, like, start, you know, having convulsions because they had planned emotionally and physically to be with the ninth graders, and now they have to shift their gears, okay? If you are more structured as your default, you love a good schedule and clearly communicated expectations. You are observant, and you see how things can be better. If you're the point person, you called McDonald's a week before your group arrived to give them a heads up. If you're not the point person, before going into McDonald's, you asked questions like, do the students have a limit as far as what they can spend, or what time do we need to be loading the buses again? Okay. I wonder if you know which way you lean. I would guess that you do. And it's important that you do. And especially as we just listed from 1 Corinthians 12:18, it's actually great that you are what you are. So at your table as a large group, just a couple of you popcorn, claim it, what's your default, and how do you know it? Go. Now, I know there are some of you who are like, I'm both. Oh, I hate that when I ask people if they're an introvert or an extrovert, and they're like, I'm both. No, you're not. There's no such thing. You have a tendency toward one or the other. There is one that's more important to you. So I don't know what you think about me, but I know I give off a vibe of chaos, but I am actually incredibly needing in structure. So I say that I need a foundation to dance on. So like if you see me, like I have my CDL, I have my bus license, so oftentimes I'm driving the bus when I have my students on, or if I'm on the bus, if you see me, I'm like, woo! I'm throwing out candy and all that kind of stuff. But that's because I know McDonald's has been called. And we're going to be there in 45 minutes. And Anna told me she would have all three registers open for me. And so I can rest in that. And I have a foundation that but if I don't know where we're stopping, if the manager never called me back, then I have a much harder time celebrating that chaos because my structure isn't there. Okay. But both are needed in a healthy ministry. So I want to, and it's a balance, right? I think of so many things in life that are a balance. I think of diet and exercise. I think of caffeine and water. I think of activity and sleep. Even when I think of faith, right? We see God as a God of grace and love and mercy, but he is also a God of power and judgment. And we all know people or churches who favor really heavy one or the other. We've got to figure out how to hold them together. And it's the same with chaos and structure. So let's talk about the benefits of first chaos, which for those of you who are structured, you're like, there are no such things. Yes, there are. I promise there are. The benefits of chaos in your ministry. Number one, it's attractive to most students. Most students find the idea of energy and lights and music and dance and like, what are we doing? They find that really attractive. I think it builds momentum in your ministry. It's this idea of like, what's going to happen now? If that happened last week or if that happened last camp, what's going to happen now? I think there's a willingness to try anything. And especially in middle school ministry, you've got kids who are willing. So we love to do the blender game. I don't know if you've ever tried this, where I literally ask my leaders, five of them, to bring blenders on a Wednesday night. And we plug them in on a power strip in the front on a table. And then I, before program, I go get some Happy Meals from McDonald's, some value meals from Taco Bell, you know, including the salsa, including the ketchup, including the orange drink. And then you pour the entire Happy Meal contents, including the ketchup and the orange drink, into a blender. You blend it. You've got Dixie cups lined up, and you pour the results in there, and then you ask for volunteers. Now, we've also asked the custodians to give us a couple extra garbage cans for the night, and we have them on the end of either one because kids are probably going to vomit. But it's amazing when you say, is there anybody who'd like to volunteer? The number of hands that go up are crazy, right? And it's just this idea that you're celebrating that willingness. I think the benefit is that it makes our ministries unique versus other boring parts of the church. And I also think it celebrates where they are in life. I mean, yes, part of the structure you'll hear me say is that we can offer a consistency, but their life is just kind of all over. And I think sometimes when we join in on that, it actually makes it feel a little bit more normal for them. There are benefits to structure. My number one is your planned events actually happen. Oh my word, have you ever worked so hard on a retreat or a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning and things just got out of control and all those things you worked so hard on never got to happen? Or that teaching you worked so hard on ended up being 7 minutes rather than the 20 minutes you were supposed to have it happen. I love the fact that when you plan, the things that you plan for actually happen. I think it offers a safe environment for kids. You know, they don't understand it, but they long for structure. They long for boundaries. They think they don't want them, but they actually feel safer when they are there. And let's be honest that many of us have kids in our ministry who don't feel safe in other spaces. But when they know that they can count on feeling safe in your environment because they know what's coming and they know what's happening and they know that nobody is supposed to exit the room, they know that the leaders are there for them if they need help, then that just creates a safe environment. Leaders are allowed to be shepherds, not chaperones, when you have a schedule and a structure in place. Chaos often requires us to be chaperones, right? To offer containment to keep kids safe and not to die. But when you have the structure, you actually have the space. I think structure allows you to have happy parents. Do you know that when we schedule events, I am over the top committed to be back to Wooddale's door number 5 within 5 minutes of when we say that we're going to be. And 98% of the time, it's the 5 minutes before we're supposed to be there. And I've got to believe if you came to one of my events, You would be blown away when we come to door 5 at how many cars are already in the parking lot of parents waiting because they know we're going to be on time. Our parents are happy when that happens. I think you also have a good relationship with others. And others is in all caps. And I mean custodians. I mean the guy who's in charge of the church van. Because, if you're structured, you build in time to actually clean up that van and refuel it before you park it again and give the keys back. The restaurants that you go to, the camps that you go to, the places that you stay. We have the majority of the places we go with Wooddale Junior High, they say to me, wow, those are the best behaved kids I've ever seen. Or wow, your guys' group was the easiest group we've ever had. Because I literally have leaders who I'm like, Dylan, you're the boys' sweep, and Anna, you're the girls' sweep. And so they will go into the bathrooms, they will make sure that all of our kids are out, and they will clean up the bathroom. They will flush the urinals. Guys, it's not that hard, guys. Flush the urinal. They will wipe off the counters. They'll throw stuff away. And I've got leaders who are picking up the French fries. We make the kids do it too, but sometimes they miss things, you know. But I want to make it as easy as possible. I want that manager to want me to come back the next year when I call ahead. Okay? Tell me, what did I miss? What other benefits do you think there are of structure? What did I miss? What kind of things in your ministry do you know happen? Yes, go for it, Robin.
You know you're taking it seriously.
You know?
The youth know. That you're taking it seriously.
Yep. They can tell that you care and that they matter enough for you to be thoughtful. I love it. Good. What else? What else is a benefit of structure? Yeah, go for it. Retention of leaders. Guys, you know, I've been there 27 years, so it's a little crazy, but I have leaders who've been with me for 16 years, 9 years, 11 years, and they came in with their kids, right, because they wanted a shared experience, but they stayed because they fell in love with junior hires, they fell in love with the ministry, and they love the Lord, but we've kept them because they feel like they matter. They're shepherds. They're not chaperones. They see life change, okay? Did I miss any chaos? What are some of the other benefits of chaos? Yeah. Okay, it allows room for the Holy Spirit to shake things up. You're right on. And I would say people who lean toward chaos, they're waiting on the movement of the Holy Spirit a lot, right? Because I also believe that God is a God of order. If you read through Scripture, you will see how he orders things, but then he also loves to surprise us. So that's where it comes back to the balance. Okay? So as with so many things in life, I hope that there's thoughtfulness behind it. So with your structure, make sure that there's reasoning and philosophy. Don't just be a control freak. Don't just be somebody who's legalistic. My kids and my leaders know that 98% of the time, there is a story behind a guideline. 2% of the time, it's just my preference. Okay, so the room is always going to be cool. If you come into our junior high room, it's set at 64 degrees. So my people are like, I just dress in layers. That's what they say. It's so dear. Because I like it cool. If you're riding on my bus, it's always going to be cool. We will always have Coke products, with the exception of Mountain Dew. Hallelujah. Okay? Those are my preferences. But 98% of the time, there's a reason behind it. And guess what? If they know your reasoning, they're willing to follow the structure. So this might sound controversial, but at our church, we require one-piece swimsuits for girls. And not just swimsuits, but athletic swimsuits is what we call them, sports swimsuits. And I will tell you that it happened because I was at summer camp when we didn't have that rule, and I was on the beach and I was watching the water tramp, and Heather Dahlquist was out there in her string bikini jumping up and down with a bunch of boys, and I just thought, all it's going to take is a whoops, not even on her part. And I just thought, I can't do that. And plus, I'm a big fan of 1 Corinthians 6:19 and 20, that our bodies were bought at a price, therefore honor God with your bodies. And we have guidelines for the guys too. When they're out of the pool, they've got to have shirts on, and they can't have, you know, the the beater t-shirts. I don't want to see their underwear. We've got different things, but that's a rule that we made. And when I first made it, you would have thought I was Satan himself. And I got so much pushback. You know, and I had parents who were like, my daughter has 7 two-pieces, and you're telling me that. And I'm like, okay, well, that's a problem, but that's another conversation. But yes, I'm telling you that you have to. And the first year that we went to summer camp with that rule, we had girls who, when the leaders left the beach, they took off their tank tops that they had on over their two-pieces to make them legit, kind of out of defiance. And I realized I had not shared with them the philosophy and the reasoning behind it. So after a chapel session, I asked the girls to stay, and I shared my heart with them, and I shared about how guys are visually stimulated, and this is not your problem, this is not your fault, but the Bible talks about us honoring our brothers and causing them not to stumble, and ladies, this is what I'm asking, not one more issue the rest of the week, because they understood the philosophy and reasoning behind it. In our ministry, we don't allow poker-related items on our trips, and that was confusing for some people. And so I started sharing the reason why. Because on one of my mission trips, when I first started in 1998, our boys had to go to a hostel at night to stay. And they apparently got bored. And they had poker items with them. And they got bored with the poker chips. So they made a list of all the girls on the trip and assigned each of them a value according to how hot they were and began trading them in the poker game. And somebody found the list and gave it to me. And you can imagine how that went down. We were in Canada, and I literally made phone calls to every one of the parents. And we brought the boys into like this pantry area and made them sit on flour sacks. And me and this other guy who's like really big, he just stood there and crossed his arms. And we were like, boo. But when I tell that to kids, I'm like, that's why I'd just like you to bring Uno and Old Maid. And they're like, okay. They don't ask anything more about it because there's reasoning and philosophy behind it. We don't allow cell phones on mission trips and camps and retreats. We try to ask them to put them away on Wednesday night, but every time we say, we want you to be all here. We've worked so hard to create something that's special for you, and we want you to be all here. And so many kids hear that, and they hear the reasoning, and it's not just we want to be in control. It's something different. Okay, so at your tables, what is one rule or guideline or structure you have in your ministry that has a thoughtfulness behind it? And just a couple of you share with that. Okay, go ahead. As we talk about this, friends, one thing that's important to remember is that our parents also need to understand our attempt to balance structure and chaos. Because sometimes you've got a parent and they think you're a little too strict, you know, with whatever rules you're asking for. So to help them understand that that creates the foundation where you then can dance and have fun, you know, like say without cell phones at a retreat is important. But also if you've got a parent who walks in on a Wednesday night during the blender game and they're like, dear Lord, what is happening here? Like that they can understand that you're holding those two things together. And if you are being responsible in your emails, if you're being responsible in your updates, in your calendars, and in the way your parent meetings and how you communicate, if you're coming back on time, right, you're going to win some friends in that area, and they're going to love that too. But I think it's important for them to understand the balance because their kid is probably attracted, has a default toward one or the other, just like you. And a kid might be like, this is boring. They always have to sit at tables and do a worksheet. Well, okay, that's part of our structure. But let me tell you what are the fun things that we do with our chaos as well. And we're going to get to the programming pieces of that. I have in our ministry invisible and visible structure. So the visible structure is the things like, hey, put your cell phones away. Or, hey, you're not going to leave the room while we're here together because your parents believe you're with us. And you can hold your bladder for an hour and a half. I believe in you. Those are like structures that are visible. But we have invisible structure. So I've got a schedule that we produce every Wednesday night. And then on the backside of the schedule are roles for the evening. So my leaders, 90% of them will have a specified role. And they're things like carpet ball referee. Papa shot referee, door 5 greeters. So they're out there high-fiving kids as they come in I promise you the kids have no idea that they've been assigned and that we always have two leaders there. They don't recognize that they're different leaders. They don't recognize that the leaders are dressed appropriately because in Minnesota, the weather is so crazy. We text the two greeters every day by 2 o'clock to let them know that they'll be greeting outside the door so they can dress appropriately. Because sometimes it's shorts and other times it's like a parka, okay? But those two leaders that are also there, they walk in and they sweep the bathrooms. They check the bathrooms for kids before they come into the room. There again, I promise you, kids have no idea. I've got leaders who stand at the check-in stations and they just help kids and they greet kids and say hi to kids. I promise you, the kids have no idea, but the leaders do, and it makes them feel structured and it allows things to feel better in that way. Okay, we have chaos, and it's important to have chaos with boundaries. All right, and you know, some of the, I'll talk about when we thwart chaos, but even if you've got something chaotic, you've got to have boundaries with it. So one of the examples, we have a water balloon fight. It's an event that we do every other year. We buy water balloons all year long, 5,000 of them. And we have 20 kids sign up to come and help fill those water balloons on the day of the event. But I also ask two parents to come and be the water balloon filling supervisors that day, right? So that I don't have to do that all day, and they're happy to do that. And the kids know, I talk to them beforehand, if you get two warnings. If you're squirting each other with the water balloons, if you're throwing water balloons at each other in the bathroom, you'll get two warnings, and then you're going to be sent home and can't do the event. But this is why you're here, and then I feed them Little Caesar's pizza, and it's like, oh, okay. But for the actual event, when the kids come, all right, we sit them down on the grass outside of door 5, and we tell them how much fun we're going to have, but here are the boundaries. Here is what, you know, when you get that water balloon, you have to be 3 feet away from somebody else before you throw it, and you can't throw it the neck or above, you know, and you've got to wait for the siren, you've got to wait for the whistle, you're going to get your two, you know, strikes, and then you're going home. Like, we have pylons out, right? We tell them they can't come into the church building when they're wet. Like, there's just a lot of different things, but we set it up so that then there is a conversation to come back to if you need it. And it feels chaotic, guys. And at the very end, we start with like a water balloon toss, super fun, and they have to get further and further back, and they have to go underneath, and they have to, all that kind of stuff. And then we bring out bats, and we do like baseball, and they have to like hit the water balloons. We have water balloon slingshots. So first we go for distance in the parking lot, and then I have my leaders get on like mopeds, like scooters, and they drive around the parking lot and kids try to hit them. It's awesome, moving targets. One time my girl Yo that I talked about had an old van that had two doors, and she opened up both sides and we put a paper target on her hood, and she drove with my intern in the back in a chicken suit. And he kept going between both doors, and then they totally got cocky and would like come right up by the sidewalk where the kids had the slingshots and the kids were missing them, and they're like, ah! So fun, so chaotic, but totally planned with boundaries. Okay. When do I thwart chaos? I love the word thwart, by the way. It's one of my favorites. When it becomes unsafe for students, physically or relationally. Connected to that is when kids can't handle it. And you know when it starts to turn. I just put down, it's one thing for Brooks to try to climb onto the roof, but when Cam, Emmett, and Logan join him, that shows you that the kids can't handle it anymore. And those are literal names, and one of them is a pastor's kid. You also thwart chaos if you get enough helpful, consistent feedback. Okay? If you've got one firstborn homeschool parent who's like, that was just so unsafe, that, you know, and that's the only thing, and everybody else was like, that was awesome, I think you can dismiss that. But if you have 3 or 4 parents, you've got to listen to that, and you've got to hear that. Same with your leaders. If you got one really uptight leader that was like, I just don't know how I feel about that, that's one thing. But if you've got 3 leaders that are like, hey, I think that was a little over the top, then you've got to listen to that, and you've got to stop it, or you've got to rethink about it for next time, okay? You guys are hanging with me so well, I love it. When do I throw out structure? When the Holy Spirit is moving? When you've got that gut feedback? And same thing if you hear feedback from trusted leaders. If they say something like, it's just the kids kind of know what's expected and I feel like they're just rebelling, or it's kind of getting boring, or it's getting predictable. Listen to that and be open to that and know you're probably defaulting to yours, right? And you got to get a little bit more of the other. All right, this is my favorite part. I want to offer you tangible, programmatic examples of balance. All right, so one of them is the water balloon fight that we do. We have another event called the Strobe Light Pillow Fight Gut Bombing Night. It is a fast food, progressive supper that ends in a strobe lit pillow fight in the gym at our church. Ha! It's a junior high boy's dream. And it feels chaotic, right? Because we're going to McDonald's for French fries. And then we're going to White Castle for sliders. And we call them sliders because they slide right in and they slide right out. At White Castle, everybody has to eat two, but we have an eating competition. 17 is the record. Wow. By Nick, you guys, and he got on the bus after. He's like, oh, wow, I probably shouldn't have done that. I'm like, yeah, buddy, that's a lot. And he goes, no, I weigh in for Weight Watchers tomorrow. Bless his heart. So, you know, and then we go to Culver's for concrete mixers, and then we go to a donut place, and we come back, and they bring their pillows. We literally do a pillow check because we've had kids try to slip in textbooks into their pillows or bring, like, the super feather firm ones. But we have strobe lights. We have garbage cans, of course, in every corner for in case of vomiting. But it's structured in that at first we'll do, like, seventh grade boys against eighth grade girls. So the lights go off. Strobe lights are going, music is cranked, and they're like, ah! And then the music stops, the lights go on, they go back to the wall, and then we bring out two new groups of people, right? Because can you imagine if it was just an all-out pillow fight? It would last like 3.5 minutes, and there'd be like seven bloody noses. So feels so chaotic. I get to hit people with a pillow in the name of Jesus, and I'm thinking I'm going to vomit at any given moment, and yet there's structure literally behind it. Okay, I would be happy to give you my notes on this. I go ahead and go into Taco Bell, you know, the week before I introduce myself during a non-rush hour, by the way. If you're ever going to call or go into a restaurant, do not go in between 11 and 1 or 4 to 6. You will not get a happy manager. I always bring a business card with me. I put the dates of the event and what I'm asking for on the back. I follow up with the phone call. Like, there's a lot of different ways you could do that. And when I say to Taco Bell, hey, I'm going to bring this many kids in. We just like nachos and cheese in a bag, and we will grab the bag and we will leave. We will not even stay in your lobby. They're like, are you kidding? I'm like, yes, that's what we're going to do. And then they'll get, I've had them as low as 69 cents. They've given me nachos and cheese for 69 cents for everybody because it makes it so easy, right? Strobe light, pillow fight, gut bombing night. Before I came to be with you, we had an event called the Slipper Formal on Saturday. The Slipper Formal is, can we shut off the lights back there, ladies? Where we all dress up in the most formal thing that we own or can buy at a thrift store, and then we wear slippers. So I don't know if you can see Micah's burger slippers here. These are some of my seventh grade boys. They dress up like that, get this, we have everybody come to the church building at 4 o'clock in the afternoon. We do a runway show. So we invite the parents and the younger siblings to stay. We put staging down the middle of our room. My husband, who's an IT guy, put a camera, a slipper cam, at the end of the runway where kids stopped and we could see their slippers on the screen. It was amazing. I've never had anything like it. And then we do that, and we do it by grade and stuff like that. And then we get on the buses. The parents leave, and we go, I know, be jealous, to the Mall of America. I have the Mall of America 20 minutes from my church. This is Nickelodeon Universe. I coordinated with the people there in group sales. I got an unlimited wristband for 3 hours of rides for $15. A normal one is $50, but they had a group school rate, and I convinced them that the church was even more sacred than the school. And so they gave it to me. And then when they signed up, there was a drop down, and they had to choose one of the four restaurants where they would eat. noodles, Panda Express, Chipotle, or Sbarro pizza. So the night included the runway show, dinner at the mall in the food court, and then unlimited ride for 3 hours. Talk about chaos. This is social chaos. Do you understand? It's one of the busiest places in America, and they were dressed like this. And my boys love it just as much as my girls love it. So much fun. Look at those ninth grade boys. What are his slippers? Oh, are those burgers too? Ezra in the middle. Yeah. And there's the 0.5 selfie. Got to have it. Love it. And then me and Sam before Ghost Blasters. It takes a lot of effort, but it's so exciting and chaotic and structured and wonderful. And we only do it every other year because it's a lot of work and we want kids to look forward to it. But we had an awesome time. Okay, another thing that is structured and chaotic is what I did on Sunday afternoon, and that's the our doctrinal class for ninth graders. We did a senior adult pasta dinner. So I have ninth graders. We do a spiritual formation class, and when we study the doctrine of the church, their view of the church is so limited that we want to expand it. So I had 50 of our senior adults from the church come, and they matched up with 50 of my ninth graders, and we had a dinner together at round tables like this, and then for the last hour, they went off on an investigative interview with their senior adult where they asked them questions about their faith and their faith journey, and now they're going to write a paper about that senior adult instead of their quiz for the doctrine, right? And here's the best part. I told them that as part of their deal, they had to take a selfie at the end of their interview, but the senior adult had to take the selfie. So there's Gene trying real hard. They're all looking at Jackson's like, you're doing great, you're doing great. Not bad. And then sweet little Ben and Jim, right? But friends, we just have so much of a gap in between our generations. And both of those groups are really nervous when they come at the beginning of the night, but when they leave, they just have smiles on their faces because they have endeared themselves to each other. But it's chaotic, but yet it's so structured. It feels socially chaotic for the kids, but it's actually really structured. Okay, let me just look in quick. Okay, within teaching, you also need to find a balance of structure and chaos. Some of you teach, and I love you, but you're boring. And you read a script, or you read what's in front of you, or you're just like that the teacher on the Peanuts, right? You don't like it when the senior pastor does that. You gotta mix it up. You gotta have some fun. So just some simple things that I do. The turn and tells that you've noticed. When I have you turn and talk to somebody next to you. Guys, I do that when, like, I'm going to be teaching tomorrow night with my kids, and I will do that. I'm going to teach for at least 40 minutes. I know that's crazy, but my kids can handle it. And at least four times, I will have 13-year-olds turn and talk to each other, and then I will get their attention back. And do you know that it's become so much a part of our rhythm that if I have a guest speaker come in and they don't do that, I can, like, tell my kids are getting, like, antsy, not because they don't, they want to talk, but because they're so used to being able to make it their own, right? So that's just something really simple that you can do. And then just plan for the fact that you're going to take a little bit of effort to get them back. Let them move for different places. Show them things. Watch things. I just put down throw candy. That helps. They love that. I show a lot of pictures, as you can imagine. So if I'm telling a story from when I was in seventh grade, I show a picture to show them what I look like in seventh grade. If nothing else, to give their eyes something different to look at. One time I talked about the burden of sin, and I had Alec, one of my eighth graders, who's like, come up, and I had 75-pound weights that I put on both of his shoulders. And I said, I just want you to stand here while I continue to teach, and then I'll talk to you in a little bit. Okay, guys. 150 pounds, that's a lot of weight. And he just started sweating, and like his knees. Do you think my kids were paying attention? You bet they were paying attention. And then we took him off, and I talked to him about how did that feel when that burden was lifted. I mean, it was just a powerful thing. A couple months ago, I talked about how we tend to hide in the dark, and God wants us to come out in the light. And I got a bunch of lights from the church building, like floor lamps and stuff, and put them up in the front of the room. And I had all of the room go dark at one point when I was talking about how when we hide in our sin and Satan dwells in the dark and he loves to be there and loves to make us think that sin is a monster. And then I stayed and then I just started turning on the lights one by one as I continued to teach. You think they were paying attention? I promise that they were. 2 weeks ago, talk about chaos. We had a parent night during the sex series. Woo! So all the kids had to bring their parent into the room and I talked about God's design for sex. While I was doing that, I was talking about how sexuality with holiness is an umbrella that God asks us to have in our life. And sex is just one thing underneath the holiness. But God calls us to be holy in our whole life. So I had recruited 5 different umbrellas, like big golf umbrellas. And so I called 5 kids up randomly on to the front of the room, and I had them hold the umbrella. And they all just stood there with their umbrellas while I talked about this idea of the umbrella of holiness. So simple, but first of all, the parents loved that their kids were up there. The kids were paying attention because Kimberly could not get her umbrella open. But then when they were standing there, it was just such a great visual for what I was talking about. Okay? It's so important to do those kinds of things while you're teaching. Okay. I know some of you are thinking, but Heather, I'm just not chaotic. I'm just not. It's just not in my nature. I can't be that funny. I can't be that crazy. Or I'm just not structured. I never have been. I've tried, but I can't. Well, my press back to you is learn to be. Watch somebody who is. Watch them and just see how they do it. See what kind of things they say to the kids. See their body posture. See what kind of things they value or put forth. And just start to learn. I don't want you to be somebody that you're not. But if you want to be attractive to kids, you've got to have a little bit of both. So there are some of you in the room, you are the ultimate mom. You are the one who feels the need to discipline and to pick up the trash and to say, hey, and you act like the room mom, okay? I know that there are some places for that, but you've also got to be fun. You've got to be willing to laugh at yourself. Nolan came up to me, 7th grade boy, and he goes, hey, Heather, why don't women wear watches? I was like, I don't know, Nolan. He goes, because there's a clock on the oven. Right? And I was like, oh, no frontal lobe cortex. Like, you're talking to your junior high pastor for the next 3 years, but I just laughed. And I was like, no, 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 I gave him a noogie. And I, you know, because I can laugh at that. I can laugh at myself. I can laugh at him. Okay? And those of you who are chaotic, if you don't figure out how to toe the line sometimes, you're not going to last in ministry. Because camps aren't going to want you back. Leaders aren't going to be sure that they can trust you, and parents are going to question your discernment. So you've got to figure out how to have a layer of structure as well. Okay, last thought at your tables. What did you need to hear tonight? What did you need to hear tonight? A couple of you share. Go. I hope you heard tonight that this topic and this challenge of balance is just as much for those of you who volunteer as those of you who are in charge. Those of you who are in charge, I hope you recognize your default and you surround yourself with the others. And those of you who have the different defaults, please observe. Please offer feedback kindly to your lead person and say, hey, I think we're getting a little too predictable, or hey, that felt a little chaotic. Let's have a little bit of invisible structure the next time we're behind it. We've got to help each other as the body of Christ, and we want to honor where kids are at, and we want to have a great ministry that's healthy, but attractive and fun. And I believe it happens when we celebrate and balance structure and chaos. So Lord, may that be so in our ministries. I love, Lord, that there's such a great base already that these friends are talking about. But I just pray that all of our ministries would be better because of what we just learned. Even if it's just a little tweak or a little shift here or there, God, that kids would feel comfortable, they'd feel excited to come, they'd feel safe, they'd want to invite their friends, all of it. And parents would be happy and excited, and we would actually feel like things are happening and ministry is happening and kids are being seen and we're having a good time. So Lord, just show us what it means for each of us and each of our ministries, and we're thankful for it, and we promise in advance to give you the credit and the glory for what you're going to do. In Jesus' name, amen.